Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Bet, our second podcast in Perek HaMafki, the third Perek. And remember, in the first Mishnah, the analysis of which we will finish in this podcast, we saw that if a Shomer Chinam, who claims something was stolen from him, nonetheless decides to pay, he acquires the rights of collection of Kefel. Amar Rav Huna, we're in the middle of Lamed Dalet Amud Bet. Amar Rav Huna Mashpiino Toshvua She'ina Bershuto. Nonetheless, he has to take an oath that the item is not in his possession. My Tama, what's the reason? Chashinan Shema Inav Natanba. We're concerned maybe this Shomer took a liking to the thing and was willing to pay market price for it. And so he said it was stolen, willing to pay, and now he's got it. Now, Meitaveh, we have a challenge. Hamal Vet Chaver Olamashkon Vavara Mashkon. Now, we have the following complex piece. If a fellow lends money to another fellow with collateral, and then the collateral is lost. Now, the presumption here is that the person who is the malve, who has the mashkon, has a din of a shomer sachar, and therefore he is liable for genevav and aveda. Okay. Via marlo. The malve says to the love, sel ahil viticha alav, shekel aya shaveh. The first set of claims work as follows. The malva says, I lent you a sela, and the collateral is worth half that, a shekel, which means you still owe me half. And the lova says, no, you lent me a sela that we agree on, and the collateral is worth a sela, which means I owe you nothing. Patur, he's exempt. We'll see who the he is. If the malva says, I lent you a sela on this collateral, and he says it was only worth half, which means you owe me half a sela. He disagrees and says it was worth three quarters of it, which means I'm admitting that I owe you a quarter. There's hodav and miktsat. Chayav, he's liable. Now, flip the case. Sela hilvitani alav. The lova says, you lent me a sela, shnai my collateral was worth two, which means you owe me a sela. Valomer lo, ki elas v'salitichalav sela hayashaveh. The malva says, no, the collateral was worth exactly the same. Patur, he's exempt. Sela hilvitani alav, but if the lova says, you lent me a sela, shnai mayashaveh, it was worth two. Valomer lo, ki elas salitichalav chamisha darim hayashaveh. He says, no, it was worth one and a quarter. Then, chayav, because again, he is admitting to a debt, the debt being three quarters. Now, minishba, that's the question. Misha pigadon etzlo. The answer is that the malva has to take the oath. In either case, we have to see which case we're talking about, but when we say he has to take an oath, it's the malva has to take an oath. Why? Shema yishavazeh, because perhaps the lova who didn't have the pigadon in his property, his possession, will take the oath. V'yotzi halo et ha-pikadon. And then the malva will pull the pikadon out, and the concern is that it'll pull the pikadon out, and it'll turn out to be not the same as the fellow took the oath to its value, and then this fellow will now become pasul. So we made a takana that the malva has to take the shvua to make sure that another person isn't nifsala through this act. Now, the question is, when we say that the malva has to take the shvua, which case are we talking about? Because remember, we have four cases here. In two cases, it says chayiv, two cases, it says potter. So it's one of the cases that says chayiv. Let's see. Ilem aseifa, if it's the last case, fatepukle de shvua gabi malvahi. The malva's taking the shvua anyways. Remember, the malva is the one who has to defend himself against a greater claim, which is a whole sela. He says, no, I only owe you three quarters. Takamodi miktsaratana. So the malva's taking the oath anyway, so we're not going to say, to make sure things are right, the malva takes the oath. He anyways has to take the oath. Alamar Shmuel Aresha. Shmuel says, going on the first case, when the lova would normally take the oath to say that I only owe you a quarter instead of a half. Right, now my Aresha, what does that mean? I say for the Aresha, meaning the second part of the first case. Selvi teicha alav, shakla yashaveh, v'mer loki ela selvi tani alav, stosha dreim hayashaveh, chayav, that case. Now, the shvua gavi lovehu. The shvua really belongs to the loveh. V'yam rabbanon lishtava malve shami shavad zev yotzei lo etapigadon. The rabbanon said, nonetheless, the malve should take the oath, because if the loveh takes the oath as to how much it's worth, the malve might be hiding the thing. He'll pull it out, and then he will invalidate the loveh from ever taking an oath, or at least he'll be cast as puzzle. Now, remember, this is all part of a challenge that against Rav Huna's ruling that we make a shomer take an oath when he pays off, make him take an oath that the thing is not in his property. V'im itel Rav Huna, if Rav Huna's halacha really were the case, and kevan to mishtav malva she'en b'shuto, once the malva has taken the oath, Rav Huna's oath, how can he then turn around and take it out? In other words, the Rabbanan's concern is not a concern. If Rav Huna says the fellow has taken an oath, which is it's not in my property, how can he then turn around and pull it out? So perhaps our Mishnah is talking about that bright is talking about a case where there are eidim that it got burned up, which means there's no way he could pull it out. So then you have no concern. He's not going to pull it out of nowhere. It's burned up. There's eidim that it was stolen. So sof mehechim ha'itila, same problem. If there's eidim that it was stolen, then why are we concerned if the lova takes the oath that the malva is going to invalidate him by pulling it out? Pulling out of where? The answer is the tarchum ha'itila. He'll do an investigation, he'll find the ganav, and he'll get it back. So yachi kimishtabin malva nami, litrach la lova v'leite. So the same thing, let the malva take the oath, and then the lova can go and do an investigation and find it and validate him. So you have the same problem in both sides. The answer is not equal, because bishtama malve, yodaman ka ayom enafi beveta, the malve, it was his house it was stolen from. He knows who's around his house. He knows who the suspicious characters around there. He knows where to look. The lova doesn't know who's hanging around the malve's house. He doesn't even know how to do an investigation on this. So the malve has a much better chance of being able to find the guy. Abaye has a whole different answer. He says, gzeira shema yit'on v'yomarlo achar shvua mitzatiha. He'll pull it out, and he'll say, oh, I found it after the Shavua. So to make sure he doesn't do that, we have the Malva take the Shavua as to how much it's worth. Ravashi Amar, Zenishpa v'Zenishpa. Ravashi says, you're reading the bright the wrong. Really, both of them take a Shavua. Zenishpa she'en b'shuto, we accept Rav Huna, the Malva has to say it's not my property. V'Zenishpa kama yashav, and the Lova has to take a Shavua, how much it's worth. Hachikamar, and we said minishba means minishba tchila, not who takes the oath. Who takes the oath first? The answer is malvinishba tchila, shemi yishava zevi yotzi aloha tapigadon. We want to make sure that we don't have a case where the lova takes the shvua, and then the malva pulls out the pigadon and says, see, he's a liar, and we'll trump him that way. So make the malva take the oath first that it's not around, then the lova takes the oath. Okay. Avuna bar tachlifa mishmei durav amar, he points something out about the breita. Reisha to seifa, meaning the third case. Tiyuf to the Rav Huna. What's that case? It's a challenge. It's a refutation of Rav Huna. What's the case? Selva selahil vitani alav shtaim ayashavet. In the sefer, remember the lova is claiming the collateral is worth twice as much. Valomer loki ela selva ticha alav selayashavet. The malva says no. The collateral was worth exactly what the loan was, and we said pater because not really. There is a full denial. There's no modem miktzat. But if Rav Huna was right, that in any case the Malva has taken oath and it's not in his property, why doesn't the Lova then say to him, okay, you have to take the oath of Rav Huna, I'm going to be Megalgal Shvua also about how it's worth. Why do you say it's Pater? Because after all, Gilgal Shvua, one of the functions of Gilgal Shvua is to allow you to get a kofar bakol to make a Shvua. So Ravashi, Amrita, Shvate, Kamer, Rav Kahana. I mentioned this to Rav Kahana. Vamarli, Teimim, Amino. So this might be a case where the Lova trusts the Malva. Venhenri, Lova, La Malva, Nami, Baha, Kamahash, Ashave. So why doesn't the Lova trust the Malva how much it's worth? The answer is Lokim, the Megavates. The Lova's collateral. So he knows about how much it's worth. The Malva doesn't know how much it's worth. Venhenri, Malva, La Lova. Why doesn't the Malva trust the Lova, the Kimli, Megave? Because after all, it's the Lova's property. He knows how much it is. So why doesn't everybody trust everybody else? Why doesn't the Lova, if the Lova trusts the Malva, in this case, to say, it's not his property, I believe him, he doesn't have to take an oath, then why doesn't the Malva trust the Lova of how much it's worth? The answer is Loma Hamanle. He doesn't trust him. Why would we assume that the Lova trusts the Malva, but the Malva doesn't trust the Lova? It's a very interesting take. Lova mekayim beba malva. The lova looks at the malva and thinks, "Tumat yisharim tanachem." You know why this guy's wealthy enough to be able to honor? Because he's an upright person, and a God honors the upright, rewards the upright person by giving him enough wealth to do nice things. So he trusts the malva. Malva mekayim beba malva, but the malva looks at the lova, and his attitude is v'salaf bogdim yishadem. And the people who are treacherous or whatever, God sends a ass aside. Why is this guy so needy? He has to take an oath. He must be alone. He must be an untrustworthy person, so he doesn't trust him. All right, we have a story. Ha'hu gamver da'afkid kefi gam bechavrei. A fellow entrusted some jewels to another fellow. Amar li halv kefi. So the fellow came and said, give me my jewels. Amar li lo yadana hechod tvinu. I forgot where I put them. I'll take them to Rav Nachman. They came to Rav Nachman. Amar li kol lo yadana pshiyutahi. Anytime you say you don't know, that's a pshiyah, that's neglect. Zil shalim, pay him. So lo shilim, he refused to pay him. As Rav Nachman agbe lapad nemine. So Rav Nachman had put a writ of seizure on his house, and they seized the shomer's house to give to this guy for his jewels. The sofish takach kefi. In the end, they found the jewels. Va'aikur, it turned out in the meantime, their value had gone up. So now Rav Nachman hadri kefi lamarayu, v'hadri apad lamara. Give the jewels back to the owner, give the house back to the shomer. Shalom al Yisrael. We got a problem here. So Amar Rav, he tells the story. Haviyativa came to Rav Nachman. I was sitting in front of my Rebbe, Rav Nachman. Upirkin hamafkid. We were studying hamafkid. Ma'amrile, we said to him, shilim v'loratz l'shave. We asked him the question l'shave. We have our Mishnah that says that if the shomer pays off, which happened here because they seized his house, and then we find the gun, if the kefal comes to the shomer, which means that he bought the rights to this thing. So if it appreciated, the appreciation should go to the guy whose house was seized, the shomer, not back to the owner. But Rav Nachman did not answer me, didn't respond to me. Vishamp, and I get more comments. Vishampra Avid Lo Hadurli. He was right to not respond to me. In other words, my question was not a good question. Why? My Tama? Hatam Lo Atrache Levedina. In our case in the Mishnah, the Shomer did not bother the owner to come to Beit Din and try to seize the money from him and finally said it. The fellow came and said, where's my stuff? He said, it was stolen. Here, I'll pay you. But in this case, he had to go, and he had to get a seizure and seize the house and everything else. So therefore, the shomer does not now have rights to the appreciation. So the member of Savar Rav Nachman to Shuma Hadar, does that mean that Rav Nachman holds it Shuma Hadar, and we're going to get into that in a minute, which means that if something is seized in order to be given to a Baal Chov, and then the Lova pays it off, that he can now get his property back, Shuma Hadar? Because after all, we found the jewels, we gave them back to him, and the guy got his house back? Shani hatam to shuma b'tautave. That shuma was a mistaken shuma. Why? The kahave kefim ikara. The jewels were always around. We just didn't know where they were. It wasn't like a loan where the guy spent the money and then his house was seized and now he got more money and he wants to get it back. That's shuma hadar, not there. So amri nahardeya shuma hadar tresi archishata. In nahardeya they said a shuma can be recovered within 12 months. In other words, a fellow has a debt. They seize his house to pay the debt. Within 12 months he gets the money. He can get his house back. I'm from Nahardeya. V'sfira li shuma hadar le'olam. My opinion is that shuma can always be returned. Why? Hilchata shuma hadar le'olam, and that's the halacha. Why? Shum shenemar rasita yashar v'atov. That's the upright thing to do, to let a person get his property back if he is able to pay his debt. Now, pshita shamu le'le baal chov. It's clear that if they assessed it for baal chov, v'azal iu v'samal baal chov didei, and then he had it appropriated for his creditor, Amrinan Lelo Adif At Migamra Da Atit Mine. They say to the second creditor, you're no better than the guy from whose koach you're coming. And so therefore, if the Lova pays off his debt within 12 months, let's say, or forever, he can get his house back. Now, Zavna Orta V'yahava Matana, but let's say the Baal Chov instead sold it, or bequeathed it, or gave it as a gift. Vadi Hanamikara Daita Da Orinachido. These people certainly took possession of the land as land, not as a debt. And therefore, you can't take it away from them. Now, shamula leisha v'insava. Let's say that a woman was a creditor, and so they seized the land for her, and then she got married. O shamul mina deisha v'insava, or they seized it from her. She was a lova, and they seized it from her, and she got married. Umeta, and then she died. So now the role of her husband in this. Baal benichse ishto lokeachave. The husband is considered to be a lokeach, not a yoresh relative to his wife's properties. We'll see in a minute. Lo mehadav lo mahadrinan lei. Therefore, it doesn't come back to him, and we don't take it away from him. De'am Rabbi Yosef b'chanina, b'ushit kinah, the famous takonas, usha ha'isha shemachra b'nichse melog b'chayim ba'ala umeita, if a woman sells nichse melog while her husband's alive, and then she dies, ha'bal motzim yada lekuchot, the husband can seize it from lekuchot. Why? Because he's not a yoresh. A yoresh can't seize from lekuchot. He's a lokeach with an earlier date. Now, Agbeihu b'chovo, let's say that a fellow paid off his debt by giving the land. Instead of, he didn't have the money, he gave the land instead of them seizing it from him. And so now he wants to get it back. Pligibar avachav ravina. Machloket amoraim. Chanamar hydra, chanamar lo hydra. So whether or not he can get it back. Man damar lo hadra. The one who says he can't come back. Savra hayzvinei malyahi. This is a perfectly good sale. He had money. He couldn't pay the money. He gave land instead. Tamidat nafshe agbe. He did it on his own. Man damar hadra. The one who says that it is hadra, and this may be even immediately lo hadra, but mandam or hadra, the one who says that it can be recovered, so v'loz v'nem al yehu, it's not a perfectly good sale. Why? V'hayda agbe midate, the reason he came forward to do it, v'lo ata ledina, and didn't want to go to Beit Din, machra kisufu d'agbe, he did it because he was embarrassed. He didn't want the guy to take him to Beit Din, find out he has no money, then seize his land, so he offered the land first, but it wasn't really with a full heart. Now, parenthetically, me'emat achel peri, when can a bal chov start eating peri out of land that he seized? Rabba Amar Michimatya Drachtali Yadeh. The minute he gets the Shtar Dracht on his hands, it says you may seize the property. Actually, it's a writ that allows you to start investigating to find what the property is. Abaye Amar Eda V'chatumav Zachino. Was this we had in the first parak, that Abaye says that the Edim, the presence of the Edim on the Shtar, that creates the Chiyuv, and therefore the minute the Shtar is signed, he gets Perot, which is earliest of these three. Rava Mechishlimu Yimei Achrasta. He says the latest of the three, you have to wait until the Adrachta is there, and then you have to wait until all the days of the Achraza, which is a 9-day period, that there's karka here to sell, etc., etc., and only when that period is over, then he can have perot. In the meantime, the perot really belonged to the love. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up in the next podcast at the second Mishnah, Hasocher Para Michavero, with a very, very interesting and twisty sugya about multiple pikdonot on the same property. Everybody should have a wonderful day.